Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host this show. And today, this is something I think everybody needs to have a little information about, because a lot of people do not know how to reach their passion. A lot of people do not know how to keep their passion. And today, my guest is going to help people understand how to do it, keep hold of it, and even make it better. So his name is Chris Atwood. So welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks so much, Nancy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Chris, what I would like for you to do is tell the listeners a little bit about who Chris is and how you got started with passion and how you decided to start helping other people learn about passion.
Sure, I'd love to. I'm not going to tell my whole life story, but I will begin at a point about when I was about 40 years old. Most of my life, I'd been fortunate one way or another to have the freedom and all kind of accidentally went for things that I loved and I cared about, and I did those things. When I turned 40, though, I got married, and when I did, something shifted in me, something changed, and some of your listeners may relate to this, that I had the concept, the idea, that now it was my responsibility and job to support me and my wife and our expenses, and therefore I needed to make sure that the work that I had paid good money, had good opportunities for advancement, that it would last for the long term. And does that sound familiar at all, Nancy?
Sounds familiar, I'm sure, for a lot of people.
Yeah. And what was very interesting is that now this was a shift for me. I had never made decisions this way. So when I went to look for jobs, now I was looking at, okay, how much money does it pay, and what sort of opportunities do I have in this position? And I got hired, and I got paid pretty decent money. But I was making the decisions solely on the basis of how much money I was going to make, and without any consideration, did I enjoy the work? Was I even good at it? Would it be something that would light my day up each day? And fact was, it wasn't. In fact, you've probably heard, Nancy, the definition of insanity, that keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect to get different results.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what I did for 5 years. I kept doing this. I went through four different jobs. All of them had good responsibility, paid well. And so one of them, at least, was a partnership in a company. They had equity opportunities, different things like that. They all seemed good from a money standpoint. None of them had anything to do with what I was passionate about, what I cared about, and in some cases, I wasn't even that good at them. It was a miserable time in my life. Absolutely miserable. And so people, I'd be walking around town. I was living in a small town in Iowa at the time. I'd walk around town. People say, Chris, what happened to you? What's wrong? You know, your shoulders are hunched over and you don't seem very happy. And I wasn't. I really wasn't. At that point, I decided to make a shift. Janet is the co-author of the Passion Test, and my ex-wife, my best friend, my business partner, and when I remarried about 4 years ago, she became best friends with my wife, and now my wife asked her if she would be the godmother of our children, so she is that as well. So Janet's played an important role in my life, and at that time, Janet said, well, why don't you try doing something different? And What an extraordinary suggestion, right, Nancy? What I was doing wasn't working, and so I said I got a different kind of job, and it didn't have a fancy title, and it didn't even have a guaranteed income, but it seemed like something that I might be able to do well. And so I started that work, and in fact, I did do it well. I was selling consulting and training services to the Fortune 500, and I was working with companies like Dell Computer and Sprint and Ford Motor Company and Royal Bank of Canada and others. And it was exciting and fun and interesting work, and for the first 18 months, it was just a blast. I was learning a lot, and I was engaged, and I was good at it. I quickly went to the top of the performance in my company, and so finally, Nancy, I decided to take a different direction. In fact, Janet helped me. Janet, as you may recall, is the co-author of the Passion Test. She and I were once married. We are no longer, but we're still best friends, business partners. She today is the godmother of my children. I got remarried a few years ago. She and my wife became best friends, and so she's played a major role in my life. And at that time, Janet suggested, why don't you do something different, Chris? And she encouraged me to look at some different possibilities. And so I took a job that that didn't have a fancy title, didn't even have a guaranteed income, but it seemed like to be something that I might be able to do well. And in fact, I did do it well. Over the first 18 months of that work, I was loving it. I was selling consulting and training services to Fortune 500 companies, and I was working with companies like Dell Computer and Sprint and Ford Motor Company and Royal Bank of Canada and others. And it was great fun. I quickly became one of the top performers in the company, and I was making more money, interestingly enough, than I ever had before. And this is an important point for your listeners, Nancy, is that when I stopped making decisions based on money, that's mm-hmm. when I started making money. Isn't that interesting?
That really happens with a lot of people, Chris, because people get so caught up with their worry and their stress about, I don't have enough money, I'm not going to pay my bills, there's not money coming in. And that really eliminates a lot of the positive energy that they should be receiving.
Absolutely. One of the things that what Jen and I will say is that when you do that, it's like you're stepping on your own hose. You know, mm-hmm. you're so concerned and so worried about your finances and your money and your personal situation that you've forgotten the rest of the world. And that's like stepping on your own hose. And it's only when you start to put your attention outward and look and see, how can I serve others? How can I support others? How can I make a difference for other people in other people's lives? Then you start creating value, and that creates the flow that comes back to you in the form of money. It's an interesting paradox, and yet it was certainly my experience. And so I was making good money, and it was great for some time. But this is what happened, Nancy, is that about 18 months in, I had mastered this work. I was good at it, and I did it well. It used my skills and my talents. When we talk about skills, those are the things that you've been educated or trained to do well, and your talents are the things that just come naturally to you. And so this job used those skills and talents, but it had no real connection to my passions, to the things that I cared about at the deepest level of my being. And that 18 months in, I realized that I had enjoyed learning, I had enjoyed growing, I had enjoyed the success. But once I'd mastered it, it no longer had that charm. And it was at that point that Janet remembered that she had created this simple little process that she had called the Passion Test many years before. She'd only used it for herself, but she took me through it. And for the first time, I got clear on what my passions were, and on my top five passions in particular. And I started making decisions based on those. And that's, frankly, when everything in my world changed, Nancy. And I could tell you a long story, which I'll spare you and your listeners. But the long and the short of it is that a few years later, Janet called me up. I was living in California. She was in Iowa. She had just connected with Mark Victor Hansen, author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, and Robert Allen, number one New York Times bestselling author of Creating Wealth, and others. And they wanted to partner with her in creating a special program for a new book that they were putting out. And she wanted me to do it with her, and so we did. And it was in that program to the participants of the Enlightened Wealth Program it was called the Enlightened Millionaire Program. It was in that program that we presented the Passion Test for the first time. And from there, Janet went on, wrote an ebook about it. We worked together to rewrite the whole thing and self-published it. It became a number one bestseller on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and then Penguin picked it up and republished it in softcover and hardcover, and spent some time on the New York Times bestseller list. And we've now trained over 500 Passion Test facilitators around the world. And every day, Nancy, I get emails from people who, as they go through the simple yet powerful process for clarifying what it is that matters most to them, they see their world change. They see magical things begin to happen, things that they couldn't have expected. And it's so simple. That's what's so exciting about it. So that's kind of the story of how I came to the Passion Test.
See, it's really funny because sometimes when things are simple, people tend to overlook that because they're expecting it to be hard. They're expecting it, you know, not to be answered and things like that. So they overlook it. But really, I think, Chris, if people would just, you know, maintain, you know, the simplicity of a lot of things, that they could be a lot higher in the world today. But we don't quite do that. And I think that's about to change, you know, because really people, they get themselves too worried, too upset, you know, too stressed, and then they get angry and they stay at this job that they hate and they stay in a marriage that they can't stand and they end up not liking themselves or not liking their kids. And, you know, and it's a big vicious circle that people go through, and it's like, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. Now, give out your website so people can find you, please.
Sure. Well, our main website is thepassiontest.com, thepassiontest.com. And one of the things I would encourage your listeners to do, Nancy, is to go to a different website, to passiontestprofile.com, passiontestprofile.com. And there they can take a simple quick quiz. It's not the Passion Test itself, but it's a quick 7-question quiz to see where do you stand right now in living your passions. I think people will find that it's a lot of fun, and you may really get your eyes opened a little bit about where you are and some of the things maybe that you might need to do in order to align your life with the things that really you can really care about.
Well, we're going to kind of go over that just real quick, because it is also free on your website. So, you know, that's a good thing, I'm looking at, which is the 7 questions. And I just want to kind of go over them a little bit, Chris, because, you know, they sound so simple. It says the number one, I'm excited about my life and turned on by the things I get to do each day. You know, and then you have never, rarely, sometimes, most of the time, all the time. How often do you think people are going to put down all the time?
Not too often.
Okay, and how
people,
often?
To be able to say that all the time, people have to have gone through a process of really removing most of the beliefs or concepts that they've held on to. You know, Jan and I will say that the three things that prevent anyone from living a passionate life are false beliefs, false concepts, and false ideas. And frankly, Nancy, all of us have them. From the time that we were children, we've grown up with parents and teachers and guidance counselors and our peers and others who have told us that we can't live our dreams, we can't follow our passions, we have to be practical and reasonable, and we have to make money. And when we do that, then when we get to a certain point at that time, then we can think about really doing what we love. And unfortunately, most of the people in the world follow that pattern. Harris Interactive did a study some years ago, found that 80% of working Americans are not passionate about what they do. And my explanation for that is just what we were talking about, that people believe that they have to focus on the money. When they set aside their passion, they end up miserable and unhappy and sick and so on. So to be able to say all the time requires to really to have let go of almost all of the beliefs and concepts that one has, and to realize that every single moment in your life is a gift. Whether you feel excited and turned on, or you feel withdrawn or going within, whatever is going on in your life, that it's absolutely perfect, that it's absolutely a gift, and that your life is organized for you to be able to experience more joy, more fulfillment, more delight in every moment, and that whatever challenges, whatever problems, quote-unquote problems, whatever issues that you're facing in your life, they're there to allow you to get to the place that you can experience that kind of joy.
Which is really important, because like you said, usually people don't put all the time. Now, how many people, Chris, do you think would put down never or rarely?
A lot, actually.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
A whole bunch.
Yeah. You know, it comes back to what I was saying earlier, that 80% of people are not passionate about what they do, and many of those people, a significant portion of those people, really don't spend much time feeling like they love their life, they love what they're doing. And it's a sad and unfortunate thing. It's one of the reasons why Janet and I have committed ourselves to turning the passion statistics upside down. So to get to the point at least that 80% of the population is passionate, is loving what they're doing, that would be a great achievement in our world, in our perspective.
You know, and then like your second one says, others comment on how happy I am and what fun it is to be around me. You know, now people get that, but, you know, at the same time, there are probably more people out there who are very down, very depressed, only want to complain. Whether it's anybody's listening or not doesn't matter. They just want to complain to be complaining. So even if you look at that, very seldom, I think, you know, are you going to be around a lot of people who are like really happy to be around? And when you find somebody that's like that, you want to hang on to that person and stay close to that person. So maybe kind of rub off a little bit, you know. So I think that's real important. Okay. And then your next
Nancy, can I comment on that? Because the kind of what underlies that question is that people who are passionate are like magnets. If you've ever spent any time around someone who's really passionate, excited about what they're doing, you love to be around them. You want to spend more time around them. They give energy. When you're around people like that, they give you energy. They light you up. They turn you on. And so to be with those sorts of people, they tend to attract others. And And so the basis of this question, of course, if people think about this, if they listen to this and then they go and take the questionnaire, it'll kind of ruin it for them, I hate to say, but it's okay. It's analyzes because, you know, then we start thinking, oh, well, if I answer it this way, then I'm not a passionate. Well, we don't want people to think that way. It's good to take the questionnaire and just be as innocent and as simple about the answers as possible. But I think it's also valuable to see what is it that underlies that. That passionate people are like magnets.
Right. See, and I'm going to tell you a quick story. I've been an intuitive life coach for 37 years, which means I helped tons of people in that 37 years. And my main goal was like yours, trying to help people find out who they are so they could be happy with who they are, and then they could have a full, passionate life and show others how to do that. But what I did is I moved to New Mexico a year ago last April, and I came here with one thought and one thought only, and that was to find land, find funding, build the School of Now, which is what I'm doing, open it and run it, okay? So the comments that I got from the people who are back, I came from Chicago, and Chicago said, how can you give up your business? How can you take 35 years and just shove it down the drain? I said, well, understand this. I'm not giving it up. I'm extending it. But I've got to do this. So I have this passion to help these children that are being labeled with ADD, ADHD, problem children, children that don't fit the bell curve, and children that are just outright bored, okay?
Yeah.
Which is about 98% of the student body nationwide, okay?
Wow.
You know, so that's my passion. And in less than a year, I actually got 22.59 acres of land donated to me to build a school on, and I'm just getting the fundings now. You know, so when you talk about passion, I can relate to that really well. And unfortunately, most people don't get it, you know, and they've got to find that in themselves, because every day, at least I think, Chris, they should get up as soon as their feet hit the floor and say, this is a great day. I don't care if it's pouring down rain.
Yeah. Okay? Well, it takes an internal shift to be able to do that, Nancy, you know.
It
comes back to what we were talking about earlier, is to be able to see the rain and realize that where's the gift in that, you know, where is the thing that is blessing me in this day. And one of the quotes from the passion test is, what you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. But the things that we give attention to are what dominate our life. And so one of the most important, valuable things people can do to change their experience of life is to give attention to the things that they are grateful for, the things that they appreciate in their life, the things that are valuable to them in their life. And that alone can create some major shifts. There's also one other thing I'd like to comment on, Nancy, in your story, because one of the things you're doing is what we call the secret that guarantees a passionate life.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to know what your passion is, but to be able to realize your passion, to live it, requires applying the secret that guarantees a passionate life, which you have done. And that secret is, whenever you're faced with a choice, a decision, or an opportunity, choose in favor of your passions. And so once you know what your passions are, you know, the value of the passion test is it's a simple process. And I want to mention again, these questions that you're reviewing now, the passion test profile, is not the passion test. It is just an assessment to see, where do I stand in living my passions? The passion test itself is a simple process. It's not actually questions. It's a simple process to clarify what are your top five passions? What are the five things that matter most to you in your life? So that then you can give attention to those things and begin using those as a powerful decision-making tool in your life. When you're faced with a choice, when you're faced with an opportunity, to be able to say, is this going to help me be more connected and aligned with the things that I love and care about most, or is it going to take me farther away from them? And what I heard in your story, Nancy, is that you've made some conscious decisions to align your life more closely with this vision that you have, to be able to mm-hmm. serve and support these children. And I just want to congratulate you for that. And your story itself is a great illustration of one of the key principles of being able to live a passionate life.
Yeah, and you know, and people understand, I understand that other people will try to get you off course. And right. if that passion is really there, there really isn't anything that's going to get you off course, no matter what you have to go through. You know, plus I think people also need to even take the negative things that they have gone through and turn them into a positive thought by saying, okay, I had to go through this, or I went through this, I learned from this, I understand this, and then continue on as they let go of it. Because, see, until people face that and understand maybe why they had to go through it, they have a tough time facing it. And like you said, we are raised to be in a very negative situation most of our lives. And it does take a lot for somebody to look at those people and just smile and go on your merry way and keep creating your passion that you want. You know, and I have done that most of my life, and people, they don't get it. They go, how can you be happy, Nancy? You know, you're not a millionaire, but yet you just keep going. It's like, well, there are reasons for that, and I have a lot of emotional reasons attached to everything, and I'm going to follow through. You know, so in my course of doing so much counseling, that's some of the biggest questions that, you know, people, you know, are asked about, how can you keep going even if things are really bad? Well, that's when you go stronger, you know. But yeah. most people can't do that, you know. They go, oh, God, I failed, and I can't do this, and nobody's going to help me, and I can't. And putting that I can't out there, believe me, you can't, you know. So
that's right. No. It comes back to that same principle. What you put your attention on grows stronger. So if you think you can't, then you won't. And it's also one of the ways that you can that can help to make it easier to keep going to do that is to really make a conscious choice to surround yourself just with the people who are supportive, who do believe that you can do it. So, because all of us have times when we think, oh, it's not going to work, I can't do it, it's not going to happen. And yet if you surrounded yourself with people who know you can do it, who will support you in moving forward and following your passions, then those people can lift you up. Those people can help you, support you in taking the next step. Because mm-hmm. it's an interesting thing, Nancy, in my experience, no matter how passionate you are, and no matter how clear you are about your passions, that, in fact, it seems that the clearer you are, the more likely it is that you're going to face obstacles and challenges along the way.
Every day.
Exactly. It seems, in fact, that the bigger your passion and the clearer you are about it, it sometimes seems that the bigger the challenges that you face along the way. And in the face of that, I don't know anybody that doesn't go through some times when they may feel a bit discouraged or feel like they don't know if it's going to work out or not. But the people who are really successful have surrounded themselves with people who know that it can happen, who know who you are. They're the people who know who you are and know that you can create the things that you choose to have in your life. And that's one of the easiest ways to get through that time. Now, it's also the case that even if you're not surrounded by those people, if you're really clear, if you've really identified the things that you love and care about most, then you're going to go through those periods, and then you're going to pick yourself up. You're not going to be able to stop. That's my experience. You're not going to be able, even if you wanted to stop, even if everybody in the world is telling you it can't happen, it won't happen, it's not possible, when you're really clear, there's nothing mm-hmm. that can hold you back. It just may be, it's just a lot easier if you have people around you who will support you in that.
Mm-hmm. And again, it usually happens where somebody is all upset, so they'll mention something to somebody else's to them being upset or being hurt. And that person's going to chime right in and go, yeah, you're right. You know, instead of going, mm-hmm. well, why don't you try to like maybe rework it this way or maybe try to, you know, change it around. So you do need to keep yourself with people who are just as passionate as you are or who are willing to support your passion because they also know that you can do it and they do believe in it. You know, so those things are real important. But, you know, I find from all the consultations that I do right now, Chris, that a lot of people are having very, very tough times, struggle, you know, their thoughts, their worries, and they're having a very hard time getting out of it. So if somebody wanted to take, because you teach seminars, right? You do, you teach people how to do it, right?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Okay. We do workshops. So, in fact, I mentioned we've trained 500 past guest facilitators around the world, and a good portion of them are offering public workshops on a regular basis all over North America and in 16 other countries around the world.
Okay. How long is a workshop? How long does it take?
Usually it's about 2 to 3 hours. And, okay. And there, it's also the case that, in our online training program, the Passion Life Secrets program, people are walked through the whole process. They go from beginning to end through the passion test process of creating, identifying their top five passions, creating markers, the signposts that will tell them when they're actually living those passions, scoring their passions so they know where they stand right now and living them, creating passion cards so that they can choose in favor of their passions, writing passion pages and doing vision boards and creating their 100th birthday speech, the vision of their life, all of those steps, step by step. And as part of that program, there's actually a video workshop that's included with it as well. And that, again, is available on our website, the online training program on passiontest.com. But there's also on the website, there is access to facilitators. Under the support tab, there's a whole listing of facilitators, and listeners can go there and find a facilitator in their area and get in touch with them and either find out when there's a workshop nearby or if they'd like, they can go through the past test process one-on-one as well.
Great. How long does it take if somebody would like to become a facilitator? How long does that take?
Sure. Becoming a facilitator is about 3.5 days. We certify Passion Test facilitators, and we offer anywhere from 6 to 7 courses a year. Those are all over the U.S., and this coming year we'll be doing one in London and one in India, as well as in Toronto, and we have a course in Calgary coming up in October, in January in Fort Lauderdale, and that information is also available from the website. Or people can go to thepassiontest.com /CERT, and then they can see all the details about what's involved in becoming a certified facility.
They also do a passion test for children, I saw.
We do, yeah, and this is a wonderful program, and it's generally taught in conjunction with the adult certification program. We encourage parents to come so that they're there while their kids are not only encouraged, we require that at least one parent is there while the kids are going through the kids program, and they have their own program during those 3.5 days. And it's quite a bit different the way it's presented. The kids absolutely love it. It was developed in conjunction with the Quantum Learning Network, our dear friends Bobby DePorter and her husband, Joe Schiappone, who are founders of SuperCamp, which some of your listeners may have heard of, but it uses accelerated learning techniques to allow kids to have a fun, interactive time in identifying their passions. And it's so interesting because we see the kids will come, they may be anywhere from 9 years to 17 years in age, And the ones that are a little older will spend part of the time in the adult certification program. But they'll come in. They may be very shy and bashful in the beginning, not sure that they want to be there. You know, they're generally there because their parents wanted them to be, and they don't know what to expect. And by the second day, they come back and spend a little time with the adults, and they are so excited. They're so on fire. And by the third day, when it's time to go, they're telling their parents that, oh, can we come back for the next one? Because there's always an invitation, you know, the kids can come back and assist with a future kids certification program, and they don't want to leave. you know, because it's so much fun. And the kids actually do a presentation. When we do the kids program with the adult certification program, the kids come back and they do a little presentation of their workshop, which is only an hour long, but they do that for the whole adult course, and it absolutely is the highlight of the certification course, because these kids who were shy and bashful and they didn't want to, you know, they wouldn't look you in the eyes by the third day and they're giving their presentation, it's like they can hardly wait to get up on stage and share what they've learned with everyone. It's so much fun.
See, and it's really important. See, I'm a very firm believer that if a lot of practices were taught to children as they're growing up, the world would probably be a much better place, and we wouldn't have so many hang-ups, so much depression, so much anger, so much war, and the whole bit. In fact, they would probably learn how to love again, because I also believe that we have basically forgot how to love, and not just others, but ourselves. And I really think it has to start with ourselves before you can really love others. And we got to find a way to get that going. So people understand it. It comes from an inside job first, and then you do the outside job.
Absolutely. Well, and I think you're right that by sharing these kinds of tools with kids, it can make a massive difference in what their experience of life is, and ultimately, you know, the way people interact with each other as adults. And just a quick story, when we were teaching a course several years ago in Miami, Florida, one of our facilitators had some friends, a family, who had been using the Passion Test regularly, and they wanted to come and meet us. And so she invited them to come, and the whole family came, mother and father and three kids. And every one of them brought these pieces of paper. What they had done for the kids is that they had them not only write out their passions, but to draw their passions, which is one of the things we recommend for the kids, right? We recommend it for adults too, if they're inclined to do it, but they had drawn their passions, and so they each came with their, with these drawings of their different passions, and the parents told us that it completely, it was such, I wouldn't say completely changed, it was such a wonderful addition to the dynamic of their family, because here now each of them were able collectively to appreciate and value what all the others loved and care about most. And they said that when they were working with their kids, that they didn't, they realized that their kids cared about some things that they didn't even know about before. Like their son really loved the ocean, and he had to draw these pictures of scuba divers and fish and everything. And they said, we had no idea that he loved that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We went through this process.
And it is. It's very important because, again, a lot of parents and a lot of children are truly not in contact with each other, because the parents are so stressed and so worried, and they don't take time when they come home from work and being stressed and worried. All they want to do is have their kids do their homework, feed them, and let them go to bed, you know, which is another lost part of, you know, personal relationships with parents and for the child too. So it doesn't surprise me that you said that, because it's the way kind of it works right now. And I think parents need to understand that their children still need some time with them, that it can't just be spent on, okay, do your homework, we'll eat and talk a little bit, and then you go to bed. It doesn't work well like that for kids.
No, definitely. The kids appreciate and kids benefit from the more interaction we have with them, and that's one of the things I love about the Passion Test, that it gives parents a tool, a way of interacting with their kids and also helping to see how can they support their kids in doing the things that they really love, that they really care about, you know?
Yeah, and again, that's real important because, like I said, everybody's so caught up with the economy, what's going to happen. 2012 is coming, you know, we're all going to die, you know? And so there's a lot of things out there that people have to really, really kind of take a very good look at with what's going on within themselves, because most of it's very much fear-based, I think.
I just have to comment, you know, what I prefer the interpretation that 2012 is actually the death of ignorance and the
right.
and the beginning of a new period of time on Earth that where new and more more fulfilling values are lived in the world. That somehow feels much closer to the truth to me.
Well, it is. I really think that too, Chris. But you know how the media does the hype, and you know how people want to talk about doomsday stuff, and you know, and it is a new awakening for people, and it's actually going to be something good, not something horribly bad like you see in the movies. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. When people come to the workshop, I'm assuming they're all ages, from adults, let's say from 18 and up. Is that true?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Which age group of people do you find are having the hardest time trying to get in with the passion test? And then which one is the easiest age group?
That's a good question. I mean, it's hard to make generalizations, but I'll make one anyway. You know, I think really it has less to do with age than it does to do with how entrenched individuals are with their belief systems. And the more deeply they're entrenched, then the more difficult it is for them to step out of those sort of old patterns of thinking and step into what's possible for themselves in their life. As a general rule, the longer someone's been alive, probably the deeper those belief systems tend to be. The younger people seem to get it almost immediately. It's so interesting. But kind of the older ones like me may take a little bit longer.
I like that, like me. Now, you said that you have some children.
I do. I'm fortunate to have a 2.5-year-old, and then we have a baby coming in January.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited about it. I'm going to take a moment, Nancy, if I may, and tell a little bit of story about this, because it's really a valuable thing for people to understand. I mentioned earlier the secret that guarantees passionate life, right? That whenever you're faced with a choice, decision, or an opportunity, choose in favor of your passions. And I'm talking to you right now from Germany, and there's a reason for that, and it relates to me following my passions. Because when I got remarried about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, my wife is German. She was born and raised in Germany. And she said, Chris, I just want you to know that it's really important to me that we spend 4 to 6 months a year in Europe. Now, Nancy, you have to understand that years ago, to decide if I could do that or not would have been a heart-wrenching decision for me, because you have to realize that up until then, most, if not all, of my income came from the work I did in the United States and Canada and North America. And so it was kind of like saying, am I going to go spend part of the year in Europe and give up my income and possibly lose my means of support? Or am I going to stay in America while my wife is in Europe and take the chance of losing my wife? What kind of choice is that, right?
Yeah.
But fortunately, I was really clear on my passions. I had gone through the passion test process. In fact, Janet and I do the process every 4 to 6 months. Because it's not something that you just do once and you're done. Our passions change as we go through life. New experiences come up. New things happen. When my daughter was born, I took the passion test again. 3 of my top 5 passions completely changed from what they had ever been before. Mm-hmm. And it was because there was a new part of my life that was showing up. And so taking the passion test regularly is important. I was clear on my passions, and I knew that my wife was higher on my list of top 5 passions than my business, my income-producing activities. And while both were important to me, I knew my wife was more important because I had gone through that process. And so it didn't take me more than a couple seconds to say, well, yes, of course, honey, we'll absolutely do that. Now, did I know how I was going to support myself doing that? No. Did I know whether or not I'd be able to maintain our businesses and keep everything going? No. Most of the time when you choose in favor of your passions, you're not going to know whether everything's going to work out okay. But I've been doing this long enough to trust that if I choose in favor of my passions, then one way or another, things will work out. and they'll work out probably better than I could have imagined. So during the first year of our marriage, we went to Europe. In fact, and it's continued. You know, I'm in Germany now, and I'll be here till the end of November, and I'll be coming back because my wife wants to have our new baby in Germany this time. Our daughter was born in America. So, but the first year, I thought it was real interesting because we went. We spent 6 months in Europe. We spent a month in the Canary Islands and had a fabulous time. We spent a month in Switzerland, which I absolutely love. We spent a number of months in Germany. And what was so fascinating is that our businesses did better during that year than they ever had before. Isn't that interesting? And the thing that people might say, well, how could that be possible? Now, when you choose in favor of your passions, and sometimes you do have to favor one passion over another, that's the value of going through the passion test process and knowing what is your number one, what is your number two, what is your number three, what is your number four, what is your number five, because as I said, I needed to know that my wife was more important than making money, than my business. Even though both were important. But I didn't give up on my business. So what I did is I said, well, to my wife, I said, honey, I'm going to need to work in the evenings at night because there are times when I need to do interviews like this or teleconferences. And so, you know, like right now for me, Nancy, it's, you know, it's evening time. It's mm-hmm. the middle of the evening. And she said, well, that's fine. It doesn't matter to me. We can, as long as you're here with us, you know, as long as we're together, that's what the important thing is. And what's been so interesting is it's worked really well from that perspective also, because I'll work at night. But then what that means is that during the day when everyone in America is asleep, I get that time with my wife and daughter. And so we spend time together every morning practically. I take my daughter out and we go to the playground. We go for bike rides. So, you know, I get the most amazing quality time with my child and with my wife just because of the time difference, interestingly enough. And so what I did is I didn't say I can have this passion or that passion. I said, how can I have both passions? It's the difference between either or and both and so when you're choosing in favor of your passions, it's possible to choose both and. It's just the priorities, going through and setting the priorities helps you to know which of those is the one that should take first priority, and then how can you adjust the second one so that you can have that as well. Does that make sense, Nancy?
Well, it does, and you're right. A lot of people go, well, this has to be an either or because I don't know how I'm going to do both. And in true reality, like you just said, it does not have to be either or. It can be both. But the person does have to stay with that once they make that choice and not go, oh, maybe I made a mistake, you know, which is what.
Well, and sometimes you have to be sometimes you have to be creative, you know. Sometimes it may not be obvious to you how you can have both and so in that case, it's useful to talk it over with other people and think, how could I have both these things? What could I do differently? What maybe nobody's done it this way before. And you know, when you start thinking creatively like that, that's when you come up with the solutions that oftentimes end up giving you a better result than you could ever have imagined. And that's why I think people who are really living their passions, oftentimes they'll describe their lives as being magical. And the reason I believe that's true is just because to follow your passions, to choose both and rather than either or, requires applying a lot of creativity, a lot of intelligence of you, of not just doing it on your own, but realizing you need other people's help. And when you reach out and you get that help and you get that support, and when you brainstorm and come up with those creative ideas, then that's when the magic happens, and that's when life begins to become such an amazing miracle, such an amazing, delightful experience that you can hardly believe that you're living.
Mm-hmm. And then people tend to panic, going, oh, my God, this is too good to be true, so it can't be true. You know, they constantly try to talk themselves out of something that they can really have if they just continue a little bit further. You know,
yeah.
So if so. The next time that you're going to do a passion test workshop or something, because you said that you do them online, can you give us some dates of that or some you know, teleseminars you're going to be doing so people can find you and find, you know, what's going on?
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, there are facilitators who are doing programs all over the country, and people can go to thepassiontest.com, click on support, look up our facilitators for a facilitator in their area, and then see when there may be a workshop nearby. If people want to come and actually go through the passion test with Janet or me, and Janet these days tends to do more speaking than I do, just because of my family situation, but they can go again to thepassiontest.com, click on calendar, and then there's a listing there of our public seminars, and they'll see that on October 5th, Janet will be doing a workshop in conjunction with the Mind Movies Conference in San Diego, California. She'll be doing another one in Chicago, October 15th through 17th, and so there's a whole listing through 2011. Of the workshops and programs that are being offered to the public.
Okay, great. Now, also on your website, there was a real interesting comment that I saw as I was looking through it, and it talks about a TV show based on the Passion Test and how it might help people. Because most reality shows,
yeah,
I think, are a pretty big joke, but that's my opinion, okay? So what would happen if there was a TV reality show based upon the passion? Do you think that a lot of people would be prone to listen to it like they listen to all these reality programs?
Well, I think it comes down to how well it's done, Nancy. You know, I think if it's well done and we're working, you know, we're working on getting a show like that made and get it on the air. And if people really feel like they'd be excited about having a show like that, then we encourage them to send us an email to that effect at info@thepassiontest.com, so we can share them with the producers and the production companies that we're talking with. But it depends on how well it's done. And I think the concepts that we're working with, which would involve people and which would be very personal and would allow the audience to participate in an active way, I think, to me, of course I'm biased, but to me they'd be some of the most engaging, exciting things that people could do with television. And, you know, my vision of it as well is that there would be various mechanisms that would allow viewers to not only watch others achieving their passions and realizing their passions, but also to get the support and the help to realize their own passions.
Which, again, I think is real important. We have about 2.5 minutes left, so could you give out your websites again, please?
Sure. So the main website is thepassiontest.com. thepassiontest.com, and then maybe that's as simple as it needs. There is on there, you'll see the free Passion Test profile, and to get started, that's where I would begin. Is just click on the link to take your free Passion Test profile, and that is a quick assessment. It's not the Passion Test itself, but it's a quick assessment, so you can see where do you stand right now in living your passions, and what are some of the things that maybe you need to address or that you could do that would help you live those passions more completely and more fully. So it's thepassiontest.com, and Nancy, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be on the show.
Now you have, but there's another website that you mentioned too.
Sure. So that one is passiontestprofile.com. The people can go there and go directly to taking the profile. Passiontestprofile.com. And that's the 7-question assessment that I was talking about. And they'll get a detailed analysis, a personal analysis of where they stand in living their passions. And they'll also get access there to a series of free videos that we've created to help people learn about some of the key principles of living a passionate life.
And you also have a blog.
We also have a blog, and the blog is posted on thepassiontest.com, so people can see it there as well.
Okay, and you're going to be back to the United States in November, correct?
I will be back in the United States. We have an event coming up called Discover Your Destiny at the beginning of December. And when people go to the website, they can read about that event. The Discover Your Destiny event will be one of the most powerful events that we have organized and sponsored Opening night will feature John Assaraf, the New York Times bestselling author of The Answer, one of the stars of The Secret. In addition to Janet and myself, people will hear from Marcy Shymoff, who wrote Happy for No Reason, Greg Habstritt, who, like John Assaraf, is a multimillionaire, and both of them will be teaching participants how can you monetize your passions, how can you create wealth as you follow your passions. And then Deborah Poneman, who is also a best-selling author and founder of Yes to Success, one of Janet's early mentors, and people, when they go through, if they go to the Passion Test profile and go through that and then watch the video, the first video that's provided there, Janet tells her story of how she first met Deborah and was inspired by her. So that event, again, people can go to thepassiontest.com, and in the top left corner, they'll see Discover Your Destiny. They can read all about it, and that will be a very powerful and exciting event. That's at the beginning of December.
Great. Well, when you get back, let me know, and congratulations on the new baby that's going to be coming.
Thank you.
And it's been great having you on, because people need to learn their passion, because they can be so much happier by doing that.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Nancy. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome, Chris. You take care, and thanks. I'd like to thank you, the listeners, when you hear this. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and check out that passion test. Take care. Bye now.